welcome to Best Laid Plans. This is the podcast where we talk all things planning and planning adjacent, and this is your host, Sarah Hart Unger. Today is going to be a really fun episode with a guest that is passionate about budgeting and thoughtfully deciding where to put your money so that you can use it to make yourself happier and do the things that you truly want to do. So I loved her message and was so excited to have her on. I have done some discussion of my own budgeting in previous episodes. I think there's even a financial episode, and I will link to that. And without much more, I'll go ahead and let the interview get started because it's a really, really fun one. But if you have budget-related questions for Allison, you can leave them on the show notes. By the way, the show notes can always be found at theshoebox.com, theshubox.com. Every once in a while, I don't update the links to the show notes so that when you go to the Best Laid Plans page, they're not always there right away. But if you go to the homepage on the day that the episodes are released, you should always be able to find them. And I will work on keeping the links a little bit more updated for those that like to enjoy them down the road. All right, I will stop talking to make room for my conversation with Allison, and I'll be back at the end of the episode. Well, I am so excited to welcome to Best Laid Plans, Allison Baggerly from Inspired Budget. Allison contacted me because she is in the finance space, and I wanted to know what could she do to talk to our listeners that would also relate to all things planning and planning adjacent. And Allison had such wonderful ideas that I was super excited to bring her on to the podcast. So welcome, Allison.
Thank you. I'm so excited to be here.
Awesome. Well, to get us started, let's just start with why. What made you become interested in working in this budgeting world, talking about finance and helping others with budgeting?
Oh my gosh. Well, it was a complete shock to everyone in my life that I would end up here. I was an elementary school teacher. And when my husband and I got married, we accidentally got pregnant on our honeymoon. I was a teacher, he was a teacher, and we realized that we didn't have enough money to make our daycare payments. And that made us look at our finances and say, okay, something has to change. We have 9 months until this baby comes. We need to free up this cash flow every month. So very reluctantly, I turned to budgeting because I'm a spender. I love spending money. And I decided, okay, I will write a budget for this period of time to help us pay off debt. We had over six figures worth of debt as two teachers. And I said, I'll do it, and I'm only going to do it for this period of time, and I'll never write a budget again. Well, six figures of debt on two teacher salaries with what ended up being two kids in daycare, it took us 4.5 years, which I'm actually proud of. It sounds long, but we really were very intentional during that time when it came to our money. And what happened was my entire view of budgeting and personal finance completely shifted in this time frame. And I loved the peace of mind and the control that writing budgets gave me over my money, a control that I had never experienced in my past. And so when we paid off that debt, we became debt free. I couldn't stop talking about it. I couldn't stop thinking about it. And a family member of mine was like, Allison, you need to start an online business. And I was like, oh, what? What is this? And she said, you could help people who were in your position, just a couple steps behind you, figure out how to write a budget to be able to pay off debt or invest or save or take really nice family vacations without putting it on a credit card and going into debt. And so that's when Inspired Budget was formed. It allowed me to take my passion for budgeting and personal finance, my skill set as a teacher, and put them together.
Totally makes sense. And I am personally inspired by that story of you guys coming out of that debt. Interestingly, I think that my budgeting habits also began around the time of thinking about daycare. I think it's because it is such a new and daunting expense. And it's like not one that you can negotiate, right? Like, you know, yes, you have to pay for this childcare so that you can go to work. And a lot of times in that early portion of one's career, this was actually for me during the time I was in fellowship, my husband was in fellowship. So, I mean, we made salaries, but they weren't like amazing ones. And yeah, so that chunk coming out every month was like not insignificant. And I was having trouble getting pregnant. So I actually ended up like starting to budget during that time when I was trying to get pregnant, thinking like, I'm going to build up a little buffer so that once we have our first child, we'll have enough for the payments. And I think that's actually the first time I ever really thought about budgeting anything. So that is like a really interesting parallel. But oh, that is an amazing story. And I can't believe you conquered 6 digits worth of debt during that time of your life. That is amazing.
Thank you. It was a lot, and it was definitely difficult, but so worth it.
Yes. Especially since once you do have kids, you want to be in that kind of more stable place where you're not questioning, okay, will we be able to buy groceries this week? And then, exactly, as we're going to talk about in the episode, you want to budget for fun stuff too.
Oh, so yes.
First, we're going to talk about kind of the alignment of best laid plans and budgeting. So I want to hear all about your organizing methods for personal finance. I did see something about a personal finance binder, which definitely piqued my interest. So talk about what that entails, and then what other kinds of apps or organizational tools you use to keep track of all things budget related.
Absolutely. So I am a very visual person, and I like having something that is concrete for me to turn to when it comes to really anything in my life, but especially my money, because money can feel so abstract. So when we started this, I created a finances binder, and I still have the same binder that I started in 2011, if you'll believe it. I still have the same paper that I bought from Michaels in the front, and I hand wrote the word finances, and I think I'll keep it forever just because it brings back such incredible memories for me. But I like having a physical binder because I'm very much a paper pencil type of person. I mean, I still use a digital calendar, but I do have my daily planner. I feel like when I write something down, it cements in my brain better. And so from the very beginning, I had a binder that literally had tabs for every month. And behind each tab, I would have a calendar that I printed out, and it would have every single bill on when it was coming out, how much it was. I had my budget pages. I still write my budget on paper because I can hang it up on the fridge. My husband can see it. Even my kids see it. So that way they know, okay, this is how much money we have left. Like, we're not going out to eat a lot, or we are going out to eat more, just whatever we're saving for as well. And I like being able to go back and look because it allows me to see patterns in my spending and in my planning. So that way, the next time I write a budget, I might be able to write a budget that fits our life a little bit better. But
Interesting that you have that on paper. I'm impressed.
Yes, I keep it all together. And then every year, at the end of the year, I clip it all together and I file it away because I think it's also really fun for me to see where we started. And I didn't do this at the very beginning, but I'm the kind of person now, and it's probably because of what I do, I would love to go back and look at those budgets from 2012 when we had our child, because I think that would be really interesting to just see how our priorities have changed and how our life has changed. Unfortunately, I didn't keep them all the way back then. I do wish I had, but I think it's just really helpful to have this physical thing. And that's what I always encourage my students or anyone that I'm working with to do.
So can you go into a little more detail about what is in the binder? And do you recommend that everyone create a binder of their own?
I love doing a binder. And here's why. My husband is not a binder. He's not a paper pencil person. I deal with the details of our finances because I enjoy it. So if something were to happen to me, he knows exactly where to go to find all of the important information. So inside of this binder, I have a calendar with all of our due dates. I do not have any passwords in this binder. In the past, I did. In the past, I had all of our login information. Now I use LastPass on my phone or any sort of like password protector keeper. So I have our calendar. I have our budget. I reconcile our account every month. I track all of our expenses on a computer in Quicken, but I print out our bank statements. I have that there as well. And then I collect any kind of like odd bills that come in, not our water bill or anything like that. But if we have a medical bill that comes in from an urgent care visit, I keep that bill and I mark down the day I paid it and how I paid, just written on the bill. And I just keep that in the binder because there have been times whenever companies have come back and they have said, wait a minute, you never paid this. And I don't remember every single detail and transaction. And so I don't want to double pay something, or if something like accidentally goes to collections because I paid it, but they don't have it marked as paid, I like having just that right there in one place. This way, every time I sit down to work on my budget, I'm grabbing one binder. I'm not running around the rooms, the house, looking in one place where I put envelopes and another place. Anytime something comes in the mail that's important and has to do with our money, I stick it in the pocket of my binder. That way, when I'm ready to sit down and focus on our money, it's all right there in one place.
And when you're creating your budgets, you're doing them monthly. So full disclosure, I use the app You Need a Budget. And so I do this all digitally every month. I decide how many dollars are going to be allocated into each category. And I'm actually curious because you are now in the creative field where your income might really vary from month to month, I'm assuming. How do you do it? Do you use your income from the last month to decide how you're going to allocate the next month? Do you kind of average things over the course of the year? And do you do it similar to the way I do, where you have like basically lots of different categories and then you kind of decide how much is going to be allocated, including some more long-term savings buckets that may accumulate over time?
Oh my gosh, I love this question. I love it because you're getting into the nuts and bolts, right? It's one thing to talk about budgeting just overall, but I love that we're getting into the details. So I budget for every paycheck, and I'm just going to walk you through it. This episode's being recorded in March. At the end of March, probably the last day of the month or maybe like the 25th, my husband will get paid and I will get paid. I lump those paydays together and I say, okay, these paydays are going to cover our expenses from April 1st until April 14th. My husband's paid again on April 15th. He's paid on the 15th of the month and then at the very end of the month, I think on like the 25th or 26th. So we have made it to where a majority of our bills come out in that first 2 weeks because I'm only paid once a month and he gets half of his paycheck then. So that's going to cover a majority of our expenses, especially our high expenses like our mortgage payment and any savings goals, things like that. Another thing that I do is I actually, like you said, with your budget, just like you use YNAB, I do the same thing. I have three different columns. I have a column for fixed expenses, things that stay the same every month, like Netflix, internet, mortgage payment. I have a column for savings. And on my budget page, this is for debt or savings, but we don't have any debt other than our mortgage. So we have savings. This is where we have, well, it's actually savings and giving. So we do give to our church monthly, savings for our kids' college fund, savings for Christmas, for vacation, all of that. We have a section for that. And then we have variable expenses, things like groceries, gas, electricity that's going to change. And I look and see what bills I need to pay during that 2 week time span. So for instance, I know our electricity bill is paid at the end of the month. So I'll use the April 15th budget for that. And I love it because it allows me to just be very mindful with our money and also allows me to prioritize savings. So in that first budget, it's when I have an automatic draw from our checking account to an outside high yield savings account to save for things like Christmas or our HOA dues, setting that money aside so that way when that time comes, I have it and I'm ready to spend it.
Ooh, that's super smart. And you're even pulling it out into high yield. I need to get more on that. All right, yes. We're going to take a very quick break and we will be right back talking more about the intersection of planning and budgeting. Today's episode is brought to you in part by Jenni Kayne. I love Jenni Kayne and I hope you love shopping there to support the show. When you do, visit JenniKayne.com and use code PLANS for 15% off your first order. We are now well into spring, and there's no better time to shop for beautiful cotton sweaters that can take us right into the next season. And definitely take a look at their dresses. They have so many pretty ones. I'm obsessed with the day dress. It's so classic and versatile. Plus, everything in their collection is designed so intentionally that you can style pieces together without a second thought. All of their sweaters and tops pair with jeans, work pants, and more, and can be styled to fit practically any occasion. Find your new spring uniform at JenniKayne.com. Our listeners get 15% off your first order when you use code PLANS at checkout. That's 15% off your first order at JenniKayne.com. Promo code PLANS. Let getting dressed be one less thing to worry about. Today's episode is sponsored in part by Factor. Factor is sponsoring this episode with an awesome discount code, PLANS50, to give you 50% off your first month and 20% off the next. Know that trying out our sponsors helps keep the show going, and I think this is a great one to give a try, especially if you have a hectic season coming up, and I know many of us do. Factor sends fresh, never frozen, chef-crafted, ready-to-eat meals directly to your door. I absolutely love them for nutritious lunch options or a super easy dinner on a night when everyone needs to eat in shifts. There's nothing to prepare and the meals are really good. Think premium ingredients like shrimp, truffle butter, and broccolini. You can use Factor when and how you need it. You get to customize your weekly meals and you can pause or reschedule deliveries to meet your needs. And I love that they are celebrating Earth Day this month with a special Earth Month badge on the menu for their lowest carbon footprint meals. Head to factormeals.com/plans50 and use code PLANS50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box. That's code PLANS50 at factormeals.com/plans50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box while your subscription is active. All right, we are back. So the thing I was super excited to talk to you about was that it sounds like not only are you really into the organizing side, but you're into the long-term planning and dreaming, and you advise your fans and listeners and students that, you know, you do not have to give up the things that you love, the things that you want to do if you pay attention to prioritizing and your budget. So talk a little bit about how you see that and how you teach that to your students.
Of course, I'm a big believer that we don't have to live this like super strict, unbalanced lifestyle to be able to still reach our money goals. Like for me, if I were to do that, if I were to just deprive myself of everything that I like spending money on, I would go rogue and I would end up overspending and almost like binge spending because I would feel so trapped. So I'm a big believer that we just have to prioritize what is important to us. Sarah, there's so many things pulling at our attention and the world tells us that we need really nice vacations and also a really beautiful home. And oh, wait, it's getting to be summertime. So make sure your outdoor patio looks fabulous and make sure you're driving a really great car. And oh, what about your kids? They're not in soccer and karate. You have to do both. There's so many things pulling at our money. And what's crazy is we are being told what to value. So instead, I like blocking all of that out, taking time to think about what do I value the most? I don't value having a really fancy car. That's just not something I value. Someone else might, and that's not bad. I don't value having the nicest furniture in my house. Would I love to shop at Pottery Barn and have it look like a catalog? Absolutely. That is something I would want, but it's not something that I'm willing to spend my money on. So I have to ask myself, what am I willing to spend my money on? And for me, at this time period of my life, because we can all change what we want, at this specific time period, it's experiences with my kids and my husband. And so I'm able to prioritize traveling. So you won't see me setting up a sinking fund or a savings account for a new upstairs sofa, even though I really want one. And I think ours looks stupid. That's not where I really want to spend my money. That's not where my priorities are. So I think it really comes down to blocking out the noise, asking yourself, what are the one or two things that you really want to spend your money on? And then asking yourself, what am I willing to let go of? And when you're able to do that, you can add in the things that you love into your budget, and it's easier to say no to everything else.
Oh my gosh, I love that. I love the intentionality that goes into that. I love that as you were talking, I was seeing such parallels with time and planning. Like you can do almost anything with your time. I won't say anything because of course, you know, it can't be limitless, but you cannot do everything with your time or your money. So what is the piece? It's the planning. It's the thought. It's the like, what do I actually want? The reflection on like, I have to choose with my hard-earned dollars. Like, will I take that amazing trip or will I get a new car? Because for most of us, I mean, Elon Musk excluded, like we can't do everything. So
no,
I think that is so valuable. Very interestingly, I'm also in that like prioritizing experiences over things part of my life. I actually don't think that part of my life is ever going to end because I am of the like, you can't take it with you mindset. And so all the pretty diamonds in the world, like great, but like, I don't know. I'm not sure how much joy they would truly give me versus a family ski trip, for example. So Yeah, that is awesome. I love that philosophy and the way that you worded it. So what about planning with a partner or doing this planning together? Like, how often do you recommend people do an overview or do like a planning session with their budget? And is that something people should do solo with others? Or what are your practices?
Oh my goodness. So my husband and I probably did it wrong at first. I will say that. And he owns this. We did everything together at first. You know, we were learning. And so every time we would sit down to work on the budget, it was this really long, drawn out process. Not because we were arguing or fighting, but because we were both just trying to learn. So we were having lots of conversations. So when you first start working with a partner, it will be lengthier, it will be longer, and that's okay. I think that he was trying to control my spending heart and I was pushing back. And so we did have some conflicts at first, but now that we have been doing this for so many years, we have seen, okay, where do I thrive in this and where does Matt thrive in our planning process? I thrive in the details. I thrive in the day-to-day. I enjoy tracking our expenses. I enjoy reconciling our account. He would rather clean like the bathroom and do anything else other than that. So that is where I thrive. Whereas he really thrives in very big picture thinking. I do big picture thinking, but that's really where he's really good at that. So currently what we do is every Sunday, we have what we call a family business meeting. It's on Sunday nights, either at the dinner table so our kids can experience this, or if we know it's going to be a little bit longer, we will eat dinner, clean the kitchen, and then sit down at the clean table. And this is where we have our family business meeting. And we cover different things. First off, we cover our budget. Sometimes we write a mini budget if things have gotten off track. We just touch base with, okay, here's how much money we have left. Do you need to fill up with gas? Do I need to fill up with gas? What money do we have coming out before the next payday? Just so that way we're setting the intentions. We also discuss any activities for the week. Who is bringing the oldest son to theater? Who is taking the youngest son to piano practice? Are you working late one night? Things like that. We look at our schedules and then we look at our meal plan. Because I'm the one who works from home, I am the default chef, but I hate being the chef. I'm not a good chef. I don't like to cook. It's miserable to me. So I lean on him and I'm like, okay, I have you assigned to cook these two nights. I want you grilling burgers this night and grilling chicken this night. Can you make sure you're going to be home in time to do that? So we just have our conversation that really covers the business part of our life so that during the week, we don't have to talk about that. There's not any of this miscommunication. We've already gone over it and we can just talk about our days or our children or anything that is on our mind that has nothing to do with just running a household.
I love it. Do you ever do like a bigger annual, like kind of budget type meeting, like a summit?
Yes. Oh my gosh, I love that. We should call it a summit. So we do. My husband hates it. He hates it. So it started when we lived far away from family and he would always put off this like me wanting to like, let's talk about our goals and let's talk about like how we did this past year and what we want to do this year. And we set goals in faith, family, finances, and fitness. So we set four goals. He cannot stand this. So I used to trap him in the car when we would go to see family for Christmas. We would have a 5-hour drive and that's when he could expect it. I'd be like, you can't escape. Let's do it. Let's have this conversation. And I'd have like my little computer or my notepad out and we'd have this discussion. And then sometimes I would try to have the meeting like earlier and he would be like, no, this happens in the car. Like I've prepared myself mentally. Don't try to spring this on me early. But these days, now that we live closer to family, we take a big date and we go out to a nice dinner. And that's where we have this conversation. So usually I come prepared with, here's where we stand in terms of our goals from last year. Let's review them. Okay, now let's set new goals for this year. And our finance goals are pretty detailed for us, especially compared to what we did in the past. But yes, we do. I should call it a summit, though. I like that.
I just made that up, but it sounded official. Oh my goodness.
It does.
My last question is, let's say someone's listening to this and they're like, oh my God, I am $100,000 in debt. I am about to have daycare. I have no plan. I have no budget. I am freaking out. Where do I start? How would you advise them and kind of calm them down maybe?
Well, first I want to say kudos to you for being willing to start. Because I remember being in that position and I remember feeling like I was standing at the bottom of a mountain. I had to scale to the top and there was no path paved for me, right? Like that's what it felt like. So the first thing you need to do is just literally to know your numbers. We have to face our financial truth. It's very easy to want to push it in a closet, hide from it, run from it, but you need to know exactly where you stand financially so that the decisions that you make can be ones that are based on facts and not feelings. They're based on facts, not emotions or fear. So I recommend first knowing how much money you have coming in every month and then how much money you have going out. This looks like looking at your past bank statements, credit card statements, and writing down every bill that you have and asking yourself, do I need all of these? The first time I did that, we found out we were paying for a $60 gym membership for 2 years that neither of us knew was coming out on a credit card because we just weren't paying attention, right? That's a lesson learned. And then I want you to total up your debt. And you can do this super easily by actually getting your credit report, like pulling your credit report. You can pull it for free and that'll show you all the debts you have. And it'll let you know if you have anything in collections or anything that's fraudulent. So pull all the debts you have and total it up. Look at how much those minimum payments are. Look at how much you have in all. And once you know those numbers, you're going to be ready to sit down and make your first budget. Now, when you do this, it might not be perfect and that's okay. Our first budget was trash. It was like a total joke, but we had to go through that process to be able to write a budget that's realistic.
Totally makes sense. And I think part of what can intimidate people is the idea that when they don't know their ins and outs, that they have to get it perfect the first month. No, a totally inaccurate start and a guess, you'll learn from it. And I guarantee that, like, you know, after doing this for 5-6 months, you're going to get a sense of patterns. And I remember feeling that way the first time we started using You Need a Budget. I felt like, I don't know what should go. And then by now I'm like so fast. So love it. Oh my gosh, Allison, this has been so much fun. Can you share like one tool or tip or something that you are loving these days? Just like a random one-off.
A random one-off. Okay. A tool or tip that I'm loving. I want to give you like some sort of app. Like that's where I'm like, let me be really cool and give you an app. But I'm not going to. I'm going to give you my planner. So in the past, I used Michael Hyatt's Full Focus Planner, which I loved it, but it was a little bit expensive. So this year, I got a Clever Fox planner from Amazon. Are you familiar with them?
Of course. This is Best Laid yes. Plans. I don't think I've ever done an official Clever Fox review, but they make great stuff and really amazing price points for what they offer.
Yes. So I decided, okay, I had used this other kind of more expensive planner for probably 4 years, and I was buying a $50 planner every quarter. So I said, let me pause, let me get this Clever Fox and try something new because I had been in such this routine and I love it. It is for half a year. So it lasts 6 months, which I love. And it really allows me to focus on my work day and really look at, okay, what do I really need to be working on? Because I don't know about you, Sarah, but when I look at all the tasks I have to do, they all feel equally important until I write them out. And then I'm like, okay, this task is not due for another 2 weeks. Allison, why are you stressing about it when you have a due date on this other task in 2 days? And so I need the like writing out to be able to be like, okay, maybe it's an ADHD thing that I have, but to be able to tell myself these, not every task is of equal importance. So let's tackle the first 3 tasks that are most important and then move on to the next ones. So I love my Clever Fox planner. I take it everywhere with me and it's just like my great little tool.
I love it. I will have to do a Clever Fox review at some point. I know that Amanda's Favorites, who is a planner review YouTuber, who is wonderful. I've mentioned her many times. Actually, she's been on the show as well. She did a whole like sponsored Clever Fox series. And I was like, wow, this is awesome. I do love Full Focus as well. So, I mean, yeah, to each their own. But yes, the magic of seeing your day and actually having to commit to like what actually fits in these hours, what makes sense to dedicate these precious hours to, just like we do with our budget with money. So awesome, Allison. This has been fantastic. Tell everybody where they can find you.
Oh my goodness. So I have a brand new book out, Money Made Easy. You can order it now. It's out April 4th. So I'm not sure when this is going to air, but you can get it on Barnes & Noble, Amazon, and it really gives you more of like a step-by-step process for managing your money for anyone who is feeling stuck or really wants something with like guidance and empathy and finding balance in your life with your money. This book is for you. It's wrapped up in stories, which I think makes a nonfiction book more fun and entertaining. And then I have my own podcast as well, the Inspire Budget Podcast. I'd love for you to check it out. Since you obviously are listening and love podcasts, just like Sarah's, come check out mine.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much. This has been super fun. And now I'm inspired to check out Clever Fox and more of your resources.
Oh, thank you so much, Sarah.
All right. I am back. That was such a fun conversation and just uplifting and empowering to think about how we can really think through how we're going to use our money in an intentional way and a fun way, maybe an aesthetically pleasing way with a cute binder, etc. So you guys should all let me know how you are currently organizing your budgeting, whether that's via an app like I do on You Need a Budget, whether you have a beautiful paper planning method or a binder, or whether you do something a little bit more custom, like just a Google Sheet or something like that. So definitely let me know. I've become more and more interested in different budgeting techniques as I've gotten older, probably as, I don't know, both my time and my money seem like limiting factors to getting to do the things that I want to do and give to the people that I love and give to causes that I love and things like that. So just such a fascinating topic. On that note, you can always submit me questions. I'm going to be doing a question and answer episode coming up. And in fact, I might do it a little bit more like Ask Me Anything style. The only thing is that I'm not on social media and I feel like that's where all the good spontaneous Ask Me Anything questions come from. So if you hear this and you're like, I've always wondered what Sarah likes to make her kids for breakfast or something. That's probably not very exciting, but you know what I mean. Go ahead and send me an email question. You can go to sarah.hart.unger@gmail.com. You can leave a comment on theshoebox.com. You can leave me a text or voice memo. In fact, a text might be a great way to send me an Ask Me Anything question. And the text number to send it to would be 305-697-7189. Don't worry, that is not my personal phone number. You will not interrupt me. That goes to like a Google Voice text box. It comes to my email, and that way I can write you back, which you'll receive as a text, and you can text me to make things really easy. So again, that's 305-697-7189. As always, you can sign up for my newsletter to learn more. It's theshoebox.com/newsletter. And I always appreciate every single review. They help other people find best laid plans and they make this show so much fun to do as I get listeners that interact and this show grows a little bit. It's just been really, really fun. So if you're able to leave me a review, I always appreciate it. And finally, one last reminder, we have signups open for our very first live event, Best Laid Plans Live. There are no prerequisites for this event. You do not have to be a Best Laid Plans Academy alumnus or anything like that. And the details about that can be found at theshoebox.com/BLPA. And I will put that link in the show notes as well. All right. Well, with that, all things budgeting, send me your Ask Me Anything questions and have a wonderful week.
This podcast is part of the Sound Advice FM network. Sound Advice FM, women's voices amplified.